not going to be able to see anything anyway.
So, thanks for joining me, guys. Oh, God, this is so bad. The pop guard's on. Whatever. Okay, so hi. So I'm Danya Tromer. I'm interviewing you guys for Boston University's radio station, WTVU. I usually have to say that at the beginning of interviews.
Boston.
Yeah.
Hi,
Boston. Hello.
What's up, YouTube?
Go Terriers.
There we go. But, so I wanted to, interview you guys about, like, your new, new album, Intangible Company, or your new EP. So the first thing I noticed when I saw you guys play is your, quiet, loud formula, and, it's very Nirvana-like. I was wondering who came up with that, or if Nirvana's an inspiration, or...
I wrote all the songs for Intangible Company, like, structurally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really a Nirvana fan, not out of distaste, but... I just don't really know them.
Gotcha.
Yes, I like them.
So where'd that style come from?
I guess. Well, I think it came from Sam and I used to be in a band in high school,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things very early on that we wanted to try was experimenting with dynamics.
Yeah.
And having a sort of like a peak and valley sort of structure to songs, so that way we could get people's attention and then change it. Not change it, I guess, but I don't know. It just seemed a little more attention.
Yeah, it's definitely different from other bands. So, sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. Oh, hey, fellas.
No, it's cool.
I think another part of the dynamics thing is that, you know, our loud parts, I think, are not actually that big a lot of the time when you compare them to other bands we might be playing with, but they seem, like, really big because... we get really quiet.
In comparison?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a feel thing.
Do you guys have anything to say about it? Or?
Sure. I mean, I joined the band late,
gotcha.
I guess is the term. But at least from my background in high school, I was big into marching band.
Yeah.
And at least on a percussion side of things, when you do things really quietly and really loudly in terms of dynamics, it makes the big parts stick out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved, especially as a jazz player as well, I love to make big parts big, and that kind of, that dynamic contrast really helps things stand out. And that's always been a thing that I've prided myself with my playing as well.
Gotcha.
We like flexing on them.
Gotcha, cool.
It's a flex.
So I noticed on the Bandcamp, your description is every song is a love song.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little bit more about what that means exactly?
Yeah, everything we do out of love.
All right, cool.
Be it music or cooking or politics or whatever.
Gotcha.
Love can be very easily misguided and perverted, but I think at the core of everything we do, it's all about love.
And we played a show a week ago where Jonathan introduced every song with "This is a love song."
Yeah, every song is a love song.
Yeah, there you go. So I know Haste was made very quickly, a few years ago, but it had a really impressive outcome. Now, you included the same recordings from Haste
mm-hmm.
on, this EP. I was wondering, what exactly went into that decision, like why you decided to do that.
Well, Haste actually, when we made Haste, I meant it to be a preview of Intangible Company.
Oh, okay.
So, and like, that's why we did it so quickly and we... left a bunch of just like pops and squeaks and like faltered notes and stuff in there because
mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be this sort of like realistic's not the word I want, but just this sort of like raw preview of what the record was going to be like.
Gotcha.
Fun fact for the listeners, Haste was made in a college radio station.
Ah, there we go.
WMNJ The Forest, Drew University.
We did it in 10 hours?
I don't know.
I think, or like 12 or something.
Okay.
So it was meant to be a preview for this EP, but it came 3 years prior.
Yeah.
So
the record Intangible Company took an unexpected amount of time to make.
Uh-huh.
Haste came out in 2015, right? And then much of Intangible Company had already been written by then.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the stuff that like I would play by myself. And then by the summer of 2016, we had finished arranging all of the drum parts. That's what we did last.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote all the guitar stuff. And then our former bassist and I wrote all of the bass. And then he left the band and Dylan joined.
Gotcha.
Early this year.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it just took a really long time to like get out. We recorded the record out in Chicago with this fellow named Matt Frank.
Mm-hmm.
He plays in a bunch of bands in Chicago, like Lifted Bells and
There
and
Recreational
Drugs. Yeah. I don't even know if they're active anymore, but.
No.
No. But yeah, we did a session, just drums and bass, in February of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the rest of it Yeah,
I was actually, that has to do with my my next question, just like what make you go from a solo project to a full band?
Sure. Well, to finish the question, we finished the record in the end of summer, and then it just took forever to get it mastered and put out. Solo to full band, I always wanted No Stranger to be a band.
Gotcha.
You know, for the first, I don't know, like three or four years of me doing No Stranger, I basically just wanted to be Evan Weiss of Into It Over It. So I was like, well, yeah, I'll just play by myself all the time, and then I'll be a band. And over the course of that, I realized, like, there's so much that I don't know about being in a band that I just tried to let it happen really gradually. I love playing solo, but I love playing with these fellas here, too.
So how did this band of fellows get assembled? Like, when did each person join in?
Well, I was born on October 9th.
Yeah, let's go back. Yeah.
In the great city of Chicago, Illinois.
1991.
Ooh. The only palindromic year of the 21st century.
There you go.
20th century. Fuck. All right, interview's over.
See ya.
Bleep that.
So I started this in 2012, and then we played our first full band show in 2014, and it was just me, our old bassist, and our old drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam joined the band in 2015, in the spring, or like, no, in January of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then our old drummer left, and then we got Gil in 2015, and then our old bassist left in 2016 after we finished the record, and Dylan joined early this year.
All right.
No, no, wait. I don't know.
I joined
Luke, our old bassist, left in whatever last year was.
Early summer last year.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Time is a flat circle.
You know, you can interpret it however you want. Now, the title of your album comes from Great Grey Towers.
Yep.
I was wondering what's the meaning of that line and why is it important to you?
In Great Grey Towers is about experiencing loneliness among a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us were feeling things simultaneously that we couldn't really like experience together somehow. Like we all felt lonely together.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of loneliness is grappling with oneself. And that's where the line in the song, "You and Me, My Intangible Company."
Gotcha.
Waiting for tomorrow on a train back home. But the record is three words. It's in tangible company.
Yeah.
So it explores just life among other people and how that feels and how that influences like my thought processes and stuff and comparing that to the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that there was a difference in the spacing
kind
and stuff like
script.
That. But yeah, there you go. But do you guys have any part in the songwriting at all? Like in terms of lyrically or
lyrically no. I think the as for percussion parts, the drums were pretty like skeletal structures, and then I literally for about 2 or 3 weeks just met one-on-one with Jonathan, and we would just hash it out in my basement.
Gotcha.
And there were even tracks that had no drum parts to them whatsoever, and then, you know, it was very like, okay, this is the first part, you know, okay, and then I'm like, all right, I'll add a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then, you know, trial and error, and here we are.
Gotcha.
So
it's a very frustrating process because I don't know how to play drums.
So
I'll be like, all right, Gil, I want you to do something like
this. Do this. Yeah.
Just like that. And he's just like,
Gotcha.
Yes.
Sure.
Now, I noticed that when you're playing Cornerstone Live, you call it something different. I was wondering why you do that. Right.
A lot of the time, I just forget to call the songs their names. Just say, like, this is a song about X. Did I call it something else last
night? You called it, like, something about God, not knowing
The Cornerstone is about me, like, grappling with faith and how I don't, like, not so much grappling about faith, but grappling with, like, my history of grappling with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often just me saying, like, this is about Big Man in the Sky and how I don't understand the things that he tells me.
Gotcha.
And I still don't. And I probably won't ever understand
so, if you could choose, like, a unifying theme for this album, what would it be? Or this EP?
Oh.
If there is one. There doesn't have to be one. I just asked this question
every
time.
Taking those old records off the shelf and putting them right back on the shelf.
Yeah. And there you go. That's the answer.
That's easy. I don't know. Love.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds every like a cop out. Every song is a love song. Yeah. Truly. And, I often home as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to have this, like, prepared spiel that I would say at solo shows whenever I played Southeastern. And then I didn't say it for a while and I forgot it. And I would try and improvise it and always mess it up. But it's, I think the record is about a lot of things, but one of the things I think about a lot is home and what that looks like and how an individual gets to define it.
Gotcha. All right. That was all of my questions. Pretty short interview.
Yeah, thanks for asking us to do it.